It is time, everyone. Thank you once again for joining us here on This Week in Mormons. Lovely.
Looks like we made it. Might have took the long move.
No, carry on. I heard actually Barry Manilow has just put out a rock album. I think I need to.
Oh, good. Him and William Shatner should tour
I think
together.
I've heard, yes, there's going to be a rock album, and apparently it was inspired by Britney Spears' 2007 Meltdown.
Oh, yes. Have you heard the Shats album from a couple of years ago?
Yeah, of course. Come on, Al. Come on. You and I, yes, of course.
Oh. She came from Greece. She had a thirst for knowledge. She studied sculpture at St. Martin's College. He's just laying down some sick rhymes.
Well, you know, everyone can freestyle. That's the lesson I learned from him.
You're never too old to bust some
But we've talked
rhymes.
About this before. You've heard William Shatner's first album, right?
Where he was
The
singing?
Transformed Man.
Yeah, I've heard.
It's even better because I swear we've talked about this on the show even. The Transformed Man, it's like only six tracks long, and it takes half of a song is him reciting Shakespeare usually, and then another
yes.
half is stuff he's written himself, sort of juxtaposed.
Oh,
it's
good.
A very odd album,
good.
But I think it's wonderful, and it's classic Shatner. You know, he's like screaming and getting very into it. It's love.
I didn't know that was classic Shatner.
That classic Shatner is screaming and wooing green aliens. Because he's
of course.
That.
It's good.
Yep. Don't know.
It's going to
nope,
be good.
You're overusing that one lately.
I use it every time I can.
So anyway, how are you, my friend? Let me go.
I'm great. I painted a ceiling in a big shipping warehouse last night, and my shoulders are not working anymore.
Well, maybe why don't I come over there and get some oil?
That, what? Whoa, Jeff.
What?
Jeffery.
I am just helping a friend in need.
Buster.
This is the service-oriented attitude that we're supposed to have as members of the church.
the Latter-day
I'm
Saint
just trying way. To help.
It's not going to happen.
Don't you miss it? Did you ever do this on the mish, though? Because, you know, sometimes you just need a good massage.
No, absolutely
not. The elders
not.
Will massage each
no.
other because what else are you supposed
oh
to do?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely
oh,
not.
Oh, come on.
Absolutely not. No. Oh, you probably did it in sacrament meeting, wouldn't
I
you?
I would just I'd just look over and just scratch his back.
Oh,
I would never
Jeff.
Scratch my companion's back.
Make it stop. It hurts my soul. Oh, my gosh. No. No, absolutely not. Had a pretty good week, though. We're here we are for the first time in the history of TWIM. We've been delayed due to your travel.
Hello.
Instead
Here
of
I
mine.
Am.
How was California?
Oh, it was great, great. It was a wonderful trip. I accomplished, see, last week you made fun of the few things I had accomplished up to that point. Let me bring you up to speed on what I did accomplish since we last met.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
When we last joined our
breath.
Hero, he had gone to In-N-Out and his favorite movie
oh,
theater.
Boy.
That was all he had accomplished
oh, yeah,
on
yeah.
his bucket list. I managed to go to In-N-Out twice, Del Taco twice, an Angels game, Disneyland. I went to Rutabagores, which is a great restaurant for any of you
like,
in Orange County. And
I feel like you are what's wrong with
and
America.
And my grandparents took me to Olive Garden, which I've come to realize is a very tacky place.
Obesity, laziness, and a dependence on your grandparents.
I love my grandparents. And they, hey, you know, they took us out. My cousin was in town. My grandma got the tour of Italy.
Jeff, I'm shaking my head.
Look, they
head.
Have. You can go on a whole tour of Italy, gastronomically, at Olive Garden. Which involves, as you might imagine, it's like lasagna, chicken parmigiana,
the show.
And linguine with Alfredo
Tour
sauce.
Of Italy, gastronomically.
Yes. It's those great dishes. Three great core dishes of Italy, clearly. I bet after that they'll have pizza.
You know what I realize? This Olive Garden, I have it in the same category as like Fazoli's cheapness. Like it should be cheap Italian food. It's
it can
not
cost
that
a fair
cheap.
Amount, yeah. Olive Garden food wise is okay. I hate the ambiance though.
Did you go to El Faro?
Oh yeah, I did. I forgot. Should have added that one in
Good
there.
Good boy.
Olive Garden
Good
is
boy.
A general rule, and it's a general rule anywhere that has rolling chairs to get
well,
around in. that look like they could be in, you know, just a lobby of a doctor's office. That's a bad thing as far as ambience. Just walk away when you see that, everybody.
Fair enough.
So anyways, California was great. What great weather. I missed this terrible heat wave in D.C., and I enjoyed 70-degree days in California with light breezes, wonderful things. I went to Disneyland. I rode the new Star Tours.
You said Disney. I still don't get. There's got to be some point where you're like, dear world, I'm 30. I can no longer go to Disneyland just for fun.
You don't understand. I will go there. If I had the opportunity to raise a family back in OC, my children would grow up on it.
Dear world, I'm a grown man.
In case
I can no longer worship Mickey.
In case you've been wondering what has made me the wonderful, sensitive, enjoyable person I am today, so much of that goes back to Disneyland. My wonder for everything around me. No one wants to hear about you painting a ceiling when they can hear about me riding Star Tours 3 times in one day.
Oh, my God.
This is a ride that has 4-hour lines.
I was in Nauvoo this week. Where? I was in Nauvoo.
That's original. Is that what you decided to do? Did you ditch the bridges of Madison County and decided to go to Nauvoo?
I did. I was going to go to the bridges of Madison County, but when I Googled it, they have a bridges festival in the fall. And I was like, oh, that would be lovely. I should save and anticipate.
Go up there, call up Clint and Merrill, have an affair. It'll be wonderful.
The sad thing is I can't even see the movie.
Why not?
I wonder if Clean Flix has a version of Bridges.
The movie's
PG-13. No, yeah, it's not. Hold on. IMDb.
I forgot. You make fun of me for my knowledge about the film industry, and then you don't trust me when I just tell you something. We need more consistency from you, Aldone.
Hold on. Let's see.
If you're going to mock me for my knowledge.
Done in 1995. Rated R.
Lies. The IMDb
Here's
is a
the
liar.
Link, Jeff.
Here's no, the link. I don't need a link because I feel it in my gut.
I watch what I love.
Deep down.
So it was. That was fun. They're doing some nifty, like, I don't know, working on some stuff.
You mean in
there.
Nauvoo? So how, I mean, what, you just drove up there just for the heck of it? I don't know how far of a drive that is for you.
Yeah, it was about, this is kind of, you know me, that my nature is at about 11:30 at night. I called my buddy who lives up there and I was like, hey, leave the door open for me. I'll be there about 3:30 in the morning. I hopped in the car, started my drive. Lightning storms hit so bad though. I had to put oil in my car. Lightning hits. It felt like it hit so close to me that I like spilled my oil all over my mouth. It was terrible. I'm pouring it in. It's like, whoop, boom. And I literally jumped, screamed like a girl, threw my oil can thing, just like hucked it in a Walmart parking lot, jumped in the car and went. It was frightening.
I'm glad that you just hucked an oil can in the Walmart parking lot.
It was in
Let it be known on record that Al has violated EPA standards, and you can find him and kill him, arrest him.
You know what else I've done is, as a kid, I used to break open CRT monitors and let all those toxins into the air. Also, we would burn tires to start our.
Well, that you just have to do. I mean, tire burning's awesome.
Lastly, I throw my plastic water bottles into open flames on campouts.
Okay.
People,
I take cans of hairspray and just use them just in one shot.
I only use deodorant from an aerosol can.
Of course.
This is how I feel. All right. So anyway, we've got a little bit of a show.
There's a lot going on, man. Oh, did you see over the weekend, as predicted, surprising no one, the Book of Mormon musical cleaned up at the Tony Awards.
It won, as they say, a poop ton.
It won, I believe, 9 of its 14 nominations. Songs, best musical, all sorts of things.
There's a lot of.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, there's a lot of hubbub about it. Like, it just keeps going and going. Does not stop.
It's
so catchy. It's a great, like, it's a catchy musical. I downloaded the soundtrack and started listening to some of it.
Yes.
And I made it through two songs and was like, man, this is like surprisingly fun music.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get to one. There's no, we said earlier there was one called F You God. There's not. There's not. But there is, like, there's several songs that are downright terrible. Like crummy, crummy songs. And I was like shocked. Absolutely shocked. But so I deleted that and since moved on with my life. But I was excited that I was going to have like some good Mormon themed music.
I think the amazing thing is, wait a minute, you were excited to have some good Mormon themed music, so you got that.
Well, I've been on Michael McLean for 22
years.
Why
listen to the stuff that was designed to be uplifting and actually celebrate the church?
Janis Kat Perry cannot compete.
Well, no, she can't.
With the catchiness, well, like you can't argue that South Park doesn't make catchy tunes.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like they've got funny stuff and here and there decent songs that are just funny. And so I was excited for some of that. I don't mind a little bit of ribbing.
I'm excited for things that bring the spirit, things that are of good report.
But this wasn't ribbing. They have stuff. There was one that was like. Yeah, well, just offensive.
Blah, blah. No, I get what you're saying. I know. Isn't it amazing, though, when we first heard about this? This was, you know, over a year ago, probably. We talked about that we heard they were working on a Book of Mormon musical. And now, I honestly would not have thought it would have become what it's become today. This wildly popular, Tony Award sweeping, just massive juggernaut.
You know what's cool, though, is the church has stepped up. So they're kind of capitalizing on this a little bit because the church has stepped up its I'm a Mormon campaign in New York.
We have the guts to go to New York with this? Wow.
I'm sorry?
No, keep going. I'm just saying, you know.
What is that?
We usually do the I'm a Mormon stuff in, like, you know, like Milwaukee or Hamilton, Missouri or Dublin, Texas.
There's a Dublin.
Yeah, it's where the original Dr. Pepper plant is. More on that later. Continue, please.
Well, so I like they're going after ads like Times Square-ish, right? Like huge Times Square ads to kind of pick up some of the interest, right? So I think this is really smart, though, to take the lot of the buzz that's going on around the Book of Mormon play and say, well, if you're interested, like if this is actually something that has you wondering or curious, go check this out. And so I think that's a smart kind of PR move for the church to kind of capitalize on some of that and actually get some of the actual truth out there.
Yeah.
Because in the Book of Mormon musical, there are some like horrible, blatant mistruths given. And so I hope people aren't, well, and I know they are, walking away with a, oh, that's what Mormons believe type of mentality,
sure,
which is a little bit disappointing. So I like that the church is kind of putting a
do you have any example? Do you have any forward examples offhand of blatant ones?
Yeah, well, so the one, well, like the song that forced me to stop listening to the music or to the music, right, was like Joseph Smith goes to God and prays and says, "Should I have sex with this baby?" And then God says, "No, don't have sex with that baby." Okay, have sex. No, don't have sex with the baby. But of course, it's full of curse words and vulgar language,
yeah, yeah,
right? And so you mix all that together, and it's like, oh, that's not what happened. People, don't think that, please.
I like it. And the Times Square thing's pretty, I mean, it's right there in Times Square. It's around the corner, I think, from the Eugene Theater, where the Book of Mormon musical plays. So
I wonder if there's a pickup in actual like missionary conversations that are happening.
I wonder if the missionaries hang around outside of the theater or in the vicinity.
That'd be so funny.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, you might as well. It's right there off Times Square.
Stand there with copies of the Book of Mormon to hand out.
Yeah, like the real deal. I mean, because that's a public street. They can hang out there and be like, hey-o. You know, pass along cards.
Oh, my God. So the closing paragraph to this, though, says, though not all Mormons welcome this type of mocking attention, many are playfully resigned to it. At least, said one person commenting at the LDS blog, it's better than being tarred and feathered.
Oh, boy.
Too soon?
Yeah, so. Maybe a little bit.
Let's poke some fun at our...
Speaking of, well, heck, you know, we're kind of talking about, I guess, propriety, excuse me, propriety in the media. or what have you, you know, with the Book of Mormon musical. So good old KSL in Utah. KSL has decided not to run NBC's forthcoming drama entitled The Playboy Club.
Oh, this is interesting. This is actually really interesting to me.
The Playboy Club.
Now, tell us about The Playboy Club.
Well, it's just going to be a show, because The Playboy Club was a thing that existed back in the 60s and 70s, where chicks dressed up like little bunnies and, you know, walked around and gave you... It was a club, you know? And the hostesses dressed up in little bunny things. But it was a very exclusive deal, et cetera, et cetera. You had to have a special key to get in, all this jazz. And so they've decided to build a drama around The Playboy Club and all of the intrigue of it and blah, blah, blah. Now, obviously, the show itself is on NBC. It is not going to be pornographic. There will be no more naked women than probably just the bunnies walking around in their little outfits or what have you. Chances are you're bound to see more egregious implied sex scenes on, like, Grey's Anatomy or something, for all we know.
Is NBC also the one that's doing the new Pan Am?
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's kind of a similar theme where they're just going with, like, old school flight attendants and the drama and soap opera that surrounds that. I wonder if it's kind of a throwback.
Yeah, and it almost feels like the Playboy Club is a throwback, because honestly, I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen any pilots for it or anything like that. I don't know how the content of the show itself will be, aside from the links to Playboy. I would go out on a limb and assume a show like Mad Men is probably racier than the Playboy Club.
Mad Men is HBO.
No, Mad Men is actually on AMC. So,
or that's.
So
that's
still somewhat censored. So the point is, though, of course, this is on KSL, which is owned by the church or one of the church's, you know, umbrella companies or what have you. They're not going to do it because Playboy itself stands for pornography.
So, essentially they're dumping it because of the name.
I think that's really all it is. Yeah.
So what the conversation piece here is do TV stations have a responsibility to start kind of picking and choosing what shows that they
and it's always hard to say if there's a... I mean, there is a right, because the station... Affiliates are owned by unique, you know, individuals. Affiliates have, an agreement with the overall network to show their content, but they're not required to, necessarily. So, I don't know. The similar thing happened in Utah a number of years ago when what's-his-face, Larry Miller, the late Larry Miller... owned a lot of the movie theaters in the Salt Lake Valley, and he opted to yank Brokeback Mountain. It took him a while. Like, it was going to be played, and it was all set up, and then I don't think he was aware of what the content was or what have you. And so then he yanked it from his theaters, and there was a lot of controversy surrounding that because he just pulled it out.
Well, that's different than, like, a public TV station, though.
Well, NBC's not a public TV station. I get what you're saying, though. It's broadcast television.
You get it with your bunny
ears. It's broadcast television, yeah. And there's a guy here, the columnist in the Salt Lake Trib, kind of ripped into this, and there's some valid points. He says, "I can say without hesitation that every episode of Law & Order SVU is more adult than the pilot of the Playboy Club." And Law & Order SVU runs on KSL, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just not sure about... Well, and I think, on the one side, it's good, right? But on the, like, it's good to... not endorse or support kind of trashy TV like this. On the other hand, it's weird to know that decisions are being made upstream for what I'm consuming.
Sure. Well, I mean, and I don't know how far up this goes.
If I were in Utah, I would feel very like they were trying to create this bubble type feel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'd be a little bit nervous about it.
It is pretty remarkable when you think about it that the church actually owns the NBC affiliate in Utah. So, I mean, you think about that. So, it's just because of the name Playboy, but this is an NBC affiliate. So, they'll show, you know, The Office or any Law & Order shows or any number of things that probably deal with headier subject matter than something like the Playboy Club might.
What's interesting, too, is, like, that, doesn't the church, they own a newspaper as well?
The church owns many newspapers, such as the Deseret News.
That's the one? I don't know. I guess I hadn't really considered that either. But the fact that they own these media outlets, it's a smart strategic move for the church.
Yeah, it's a smart strategic move, but then it is.
They would not have stood for it back in the day.
No, and I'm amazed.
When they threw their presses into the streets and burned the villages.
Yeah. So, anyway, just some food for thought, I guess, because I'm all for, you know, I get why they would want to stay away from the whole Playboy brand itself for what it stands for, but if we're dealing with the actual content of something itself, I think there's a fair argument to be made that there's any number of things airing on NBC could be called into question. So,
Jay Leno, can we get him off here? The church takes a stand.
Yeah, so it's kind of like, where does it stop? Where does it stop? I don't know.
Hey, so...
just have BYU TV.
So as a follow-up to last week's discussion on, or actually a couple of weeks ago, about the YSA branches being disbanded and integrated in again with the student wards. Well, I guess student wards are getting. What do you
there
say?
It is.
And of course all the hubbub around the new 23rd Street Chapel.
Finally, there weren't any stories in the past week about it that I'm aware of.
It's exciting. Well, so on our site, we had a commenter, Shell, who brought to our attention that I guess the Sigma Gamma Chi, is that how you say that? I'm not a Delta man.
I think it's Chi.
fraternity at the U of U has been dissolved as well. I didn't even know that there were church-owned fraternities, because I looked into it when I started going to school. Of course, I went to, random Midwestern colleges, a number of them, before settling at BYU Hawaii, and I actually looked at fraternities, and it resolved in my mind that it did not make sense for me as a church member to be a part of a fraternity. So I was kind of surprised the church owned or it was sponsored any at all, but they did as part of the LDS Student Association. It was kind of a branch of that. And they have fantastic Rush Week videos on YouTube. Just really nice. Which Jeff and I have lopsided the likes and dislikes to a now 3 dislikes and only 2 likes.
It had 2 likes and 1 dislike when we started, and now...
No one will ever see it in the suggested YouTube
2
videos.
2 to 3.
Thanks to us.
Ha
ha! But, so apparently they've dissolved them. Jeff, I don't know. You did all your school up at BYU, right?
No. I transferred to BYU.
Oh, okay. Well,
so I did college in California first for a couple of years.
Did you have any impressions around the fraternity?
You didn't even hear about it. I think if it's the kind of thing you dig around for and realize exists, but no one cares. And I mean, the emphasis has always been on institute,
outside of BYU. That's not true. You hear a lot about fraternities.
See, I really never did. I'm serious. In California, I knew they existed. I'd heard things about them.
You need to be even a bigger, stronger jock like me, Jeff.
But I heard, and what I'm saying is, I mean, fraternities in general, yes. But as far as church fraternities or Mormon ones, I'd heard they had one through BYU that existed before I went there. But I never heard about any
did
sort of Mormon
one
fraternity.
BYU?
To my knowledge. But it's the kind of thing I just heard a lot about. But I never saw.
They weren't in the community doing service.
I never saw anything in practice. I mean, what are they going to do? You know, the Fry Sauce Run 2007? I mean, what are you going to do? How are you going to haze people there?
Well, so we looked into it, Shell, just so you know. We couldn't find anything on, any statement around them being disbanded or where they've gone.
Of course, our research was limited to...
Google searches.
Mormon fraternity farewell or something like that, so...
Well, we looked. We looked. The,
half-heartedly,
she takes... issue with it because it says that there's a lot. Well, apparently it's, you know, you have years and years of this stuff compounded. It becomes a pretty good network and institution of supporting each other. And then you all of a sudden dissolve that and say, no, go to institute. That's where it is. The downside to losing something like that is you lose the network, right? You lose the network and the connections, which you don't get in institute. But on the plus side, no more Animal House type antics going on.
I'm sure it is a wild, wild ride.
All sorts of raiding the girls' dorms and things like that.
Oh, I'm seeing who can be the first person to quote all of the Princess Bride verbatim.
Root beer bongs. And
oh.
The good old days. But.
I want to go spend a week in Provo.
Hey, I'm going. I'm going next week.
I just want to go spend a week there.
What would you do? I'll do it.
I don't know. I just kind of want to take it in.
You can live vicariously through me.
Yeah, or that.
Hey, so other cool news. The church The church is, they've issued a statement on immigration, which is actually interesting because previous, statements on immigration have been less than interesting. But, so this last week, two bishops have been exported from Utah, back to El Salvador and Guatemala. And so, like, in that context, the church has issued this statement that says, "The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints discourages its members from entering any country without legal documentation and from deliberately overstaying legal travel visas." And then they follow that up with, that the church supports an approach where undocumented immigrants are allowed to square themselves up with the law and continue to work without this necessarily leading to citizenship. So giving people that are here illegally a chance to right themselves with the law and get things squared away, while at the same time discouraging them from being illegal. That's a tough one. I know a lot of people through my travels throughout the United States that have gotten here somehow and refused to, like, they can't hold a job or do anything and are supported by local folk or, you know, minimum wage type labor jobs. And they're mm-hmm. here illegally, and the bishops, like, they don't say anything. I wonder if this changes the responsibility of a bishop. Like, if a bishop knows that somebody in their congregation is here illegally, if they have any kind of responsibility to make mention of it.
Well, and speaking of, didn't you tell me there have already been some deportations, haven't
there? Of the two bishops. I don't think the church was involved in any of that, though. I sincerely doubt it. To anyone's attention.
But it is interesting to see this, of course, that the church is issuing this statement to kind of remind them that we're all about the legality of stuff, because everyone's been feeling that the church has been really very much erring on the side of compassion and of keeping families together. You know, the laws be darned. Let people be here and live their lives. And so I think they're trying to right the ship a little bit so they don't think that we're just straight up, you know, endorsing illegal immigration.
Oh man, it's so tough because, like, when if you're part of that family, right? Like, if his whole family is here legally and he's not, and he gets taken away, like, there's a lot of sympathy going. Like, you want to feel, like, just bad for him, but I don't know. Like, you've got the law, and the law's the law. I don't know what the right way about this is. I think the church is walking a very careful line, and I think it's really smart mm-hmm. of them to, you know, like, they're kind of supporting both sides and saying, you know, they're still people, be careful.
I think that's the point of it, and I really hope everyone will actually read the official statement from the church about it, because it's kind of a statement that it's hard to see. Both sides could be pretty pleased with it, actually, I think. So, can you imagine it once again? Things that come from a prophet of the Lord somehow work the best for man? Amazing, isn't it?
Amen.
I, for one, am amazed. Read that, people. In Foreign Policy magazine, there is a wonderful article entitled "The Missionary Position," which seems very seems a little humorous for foreign policy, which is a lot more straightforward. Anyway, this talks about how Mormonism will affect the foreign policies of Mitt Romney and John Huntsman, and they say just not in the way you might expect. So it's a reasonably lengthy article, and I won't go into too much of it because they spend a lot of time talking about just the history of the church. I admittedly dislike the leading sentence in the article, which says, "When Joseph Smith, the religious genius and sometime treasure hunter who founded the Mormon faith, announced in 1844 that he was running for president," blah, blah, blah. I don't know about that.
That's how he's known to the masses. That's how you describe him.
Yeah, religious. And it's more you'd expect to find that on some sort of a naysayer blog, you know, calling him a religious genius and treasure hunter and a fool and blah, blah, blah. This is Foreign Policy magazine, which aims to be just an academic, respectful institution.
What's funny is, like, it's like admittedly, Joseph Smith did, like, he did get hired on to go and look for treasure for some prospectors, right?
Yes, he did.
But it was like something he did as a teenager, and then he did it once more in his 20s because he needed the work. It'd be funny for me to be introduced as Aldone, the festival carnival working genius of his time. The man could make a corn dog like nobody's business. I'm like, hey, I've done more than that. I'm not a corn dog maker now. Or you, Jeff, sure? You would have been the snow cone dealer, yes? Isn't that your teenage job?
Yeah, no, it was actually a Mexican guy outside of my elementary school's job.
Wait, you had... Were you the El Pollo Loco mascot?
No, but... Oh, I love El Pollo Loco. I failed to go there when I was in California, sadly.
But it's just odd that they choose... Like...
Anyway... Yeah, it's. I mean, I don't want to focus.
Like, who picks that, right?
Yeah, I don't want to focus too much on that. But yeah, it's a weird
In-N-Out guy. It's like, all right,
it's a weird way just to start an article, and you know, yeah.
Anyway, tell us about the article.
The article's good. It goes into a lot of detail about the history of the church and some stats on the church, and spends basically half of its time actually doing that. But then what I like is that it makes a bit of the point to argue that Mormons would probably be reasonably pragmatic. In foreign policy, even though we've talked before about a lot of the because there is the very much the American angle of the church. We've had the debate on whether is the culture of the church, is it Mormon or is it inherently American because of its roots? What is it? But the upside is, say you had either Romney or Huntsman in office, both of them served missions in France and Taiwan, respectively, and inevitably, whether you're into politics or not, a mission rubs off on you. When you get to spend time with people foreign to you, whether even if that's in a foreign country or whether that's in, whether you're like my brother, a California kid serving in the Appalachian Mountains.
What's the quote? The travel will travel like negates ignorance. It pushes ignorance out.
Yeah, it does. And the great thing about missions, of course, is because you spend 2 years or 18 months among these people, living like these people. Living with these people. It's not some sort of thing. You know how it is on the mission. It's not like if you're serving in some poor country, you're up on the top floor of the Hilton Hotel in the city, and then you just go down to the people and do your thing.
Spend the whole time looking for gelato amongst third world nations.
Exactly. So, and I think that's a great, great thing about missions, and it's not that makes one candidate better or worse than the other, but I think it's a good thing because it can temper our foreign policy outlook and not trying to make us, for one thing, so... American, all about American exceptionalism and things like that. Because that is sort of a thing in the church, the church has a bent of American exceptionalism with all the founding fathers and with America being the prepared land and everything else. But I think it's good that we can have human compassion towards other countries, and hopefully someone who's been a missionary will have that and take that to higher office. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the main gist of it.
Just by way of announcement, I feel this is important. Glenn Beck.
Oh, okay.
We're just jumping right to it.
Okay.
Or a TV/radio show via the internet now, gbtv.com. It's a paid subscription. We will not be paying to get it, so you will not have any news from us on it. But good old Glenn Beck, he's still around. Just when you think he's died away, he's still there.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about Glenn in a while. By the way, going back to Mitt for a second, did you see he was on good old...
Oh, I did.
Piers Morgan last week?
Yes, dude. My one takeaway from that was like, dang, that's it's a good response to some tough questions. And then after I finished the interview, I was like, boy, he was dodging anything church related. Romney is vehemently opposed to talking about. He will not touch it.
I felt like it was almost too far in not wanting to touch it.
Well, because the question that Pierce was bringing at him was is homosexuality a sin in your church?
Yeah.
Which is a tough question because yes, it's a sin, but it doesn't make the person any less, right? Like it's hard to explain that, because the way that Mormons even view sin is a little bit different than most, I think, in that it's the sinner, like it's the sin, not the sinner, right? And so you look at the homosexual issue, and it doesn't make them less of a person because they're of a certain persuasion, but we do believe that it's something that has to be grappled with. And for your entire life, but it doesn't negate the battle, right? You still need to fight that battle. And so going like in a political campaign with Pierce asking, is it a sin? He's like, just I'm not a spokesman for my church. If you want to know about church doctrine, go talk to them. He's like, but you know what they believe. You know what your church believes. Is it a sin? He's like, I don't have a problem with homosexuality. If you want to know about church doctrine, go talk to my church.
Yeah. And I thought when that sequence started off, it looked a little bit bad for Romney because he was very much like, you know, because at the end it didn't look like he was trying to just be like, there was a divide and I'm not going to talk about my faith because I'm here as a politician. It seemed more that he knew that the answer of just saying, yeah, I think it's a sin, would, you know, not play well,
yeah,
basically. And this was a great way to get around it. But then I thought Romney, I thought he turned it around okay, like you were saying, you know, because he ignored the church's position, saying talk to the church. Then he said, do you think it is a, personally it's a sin? And he says, talk to the church. It doesn't matter if it's a sin or not. But then he says, you know, I'm not here in a religious context. I'm here as a candidate for president.
I hope
he's... And I support... and he said that he supported rights for everyone. But then he went on a really good little rant that they don't put in this article about how many things are considered sins to different groups of people, but that doesn't always have to have any sort of relevance when it comes to national law, which I think was, that's where he needed to take it. That was smart. That was genius, because any religious group, I mean, we also think that drinking alcohol is a sin in the church, but you don't see people wandering around like Mitt Romney's going to go on some bent to just ban alcohol again in the country, like bring back the 18th Amendment, you know. So.
Suckers.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
No, that's good.
Talk to me.
I liked it.
Okay. But good job on Piers, man. And of course, there was the debate on Monday night. I hope many of you saw it. Not that this is a strictly political thing, but hey, if you love Mitt Romney, you're going to be seeing a lot of him soon.
It's coming up crazy. So the church has released a new...
He's heating up.
The church has released a new site called familysearch.org/tech tips. And this is... They're building a kind of genealogy community, which I think is smart. They're way behind in that game so far as capitalizing on social media and the social media type efforts, sure, like forums and things to connect people and help them do their family history. And along with this, they have some kind of some cool, like, I don't know, tools that they provided. Things like plugins for your browser, you know, just kind of tech little things that they've done to make it easier to do your family history. So something cool that they're pushing. I like it. Image tools, phone apps, that kind of thing. And so you can go check it out and participate in the community. We'd encourage you to.
Yay. Also, of course, get this. Deseret Book has made an app for iPad and iPhone.
For the bookstore app, right?
I guess. And don't even get me started on, of course, why they developed it for that and didn't develop it for Android devices.
Started.
But it's so stupid.
Isn't it true that a man on CNN hates you because of your vehement love for Android?
It's a man on CNET. No, he doesn't hate me for that. He hates me because I sent a tweet out expressing my disapproval of his appearance on CNN.
Fair enough.
That's all it was. Oh, speaking of, one of the funny things in the debate the other day.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm not done. Real quick, in the debate the other day, John King did this little thing called This and That, where it wasn't necessarily political. He would just ask one candidate a brief question about something random. It would be like McDonald's or Burger King, and they just had to answer, just straight up. So one of them, he said, iPhone or BlackBerry, to Ron Paul, who looked confused as to what either of them even were. and he said BlackBerry. And I just sat there like, what, is Android chopped liver? It has a bigger market share than any of them. And we just ignore it in the question. So anyway, side note.
What's,
point is, there's a Deseret Book app.
What's terrible
which
about
I don't
that is Ron Paul is connected to the youth. He's the young person movement.
He said BlackBerry, though.
It
I love it. He was
been
just
iPhone.
Like, yeah. And the thing is, they don't give much of a chance to explain. Like, if I were asked that question, I would have just said neither. Android. So
you should have knocked your podium over and said, riddle me this, young squire.
Yes, I should have been there. I should be in New Hampshire.
Why aren't
what is
you
wrong
running
me
for president, Jeff? The, you know what I was thinking, though? Last night, they're starting to show stuff for the wedding ref. I think they should have all the candidates.
Wait a minute, is the marriage ref still going to be on?
It's coming back.
I thought it was done.
It should be, but they're bringing it back, and I was like, they should put candidates on that as judges. That would give us true insight. Isn't that brilliant?
Except the problem is no one watches the marriage ref, so we'd never see what happens.
They'd be like, yeah, he painted my wall red, and I wanted it blue. What do you say, Mayor Trapp? And he'd be like, like Mitt Romney? He'd be like, well, actually, the man.
No, he'd just be like, well, the problem is we don't have an economy. America's economy needs to grow and has greatness. The free market is not being free to dictate. And they'd be like, Mitt, we're just talking about whether we want to choose a blue curtain or not. Well, the problem is the economy. Let me tell you about the economy.
It's like in Detroit, my old papa.
In Detroit. Now, when you're making a car, you have to choose. You have to choose between blue or white, example for the car. But if the government's teaching you that they choose.
It was a stroke of genius for me last night. I laughed my way to sleep.
you should write a letter, I think, actually. It's actually a good idea. It would be amusing.
A strongly worded letter?
I can't. I'm sorry. This is totally derailed me. I can't believe the marriage ref is back.
Who's the guy that hosts it? What's his name?
Tom Pappas, I want to say.
My gamble here is that Jerry Seinfeld said, okay, I'll do it, but you have to promise me 2 seasons, even if you cancel it halfway through the first. And they were like, okay.
Yeah, because it had this abbreviated season, or it had one before, and then it hasn't been around for a year because it was on the Thursday night block later at night, and I haven't seen it in ages. I thought they were just done with it.
She's coming back.
Rightfully so. It's a terrible show.
I enjoy the problems. They find good people, but it would be so awkward to be like, yeah, let's take this to the marriage.
Well, it's not just that. It's just a weird format. Nothing about the marriage ref works. If you disagree with me, by all means, teach me a lesson.
And from some of the previews, it looked like they had Judah Friedlander as one of the the referee guys on there.
That will not save anything.
Yeah, I can just see this being great. So
I'm sorry. Let's see. We're in our waning moments here. Hey, one thing I forgot about this. We didn't put this in the feed, and we should talk about it. Good old Michael Otterson, you know, who's the public affairs head for the church, who regularly writes op-eds for the On Faith column within the Washington Post. This went up last week. I don't know why we should have planned on this. Anyways, he talks about evangelicals, Mormons, and the beliefs of the president. And, of course, this is in response to the Warren Cole Smith thing, you know, from the past couple of weeks that we've talked about, the evangelical guy who was with Joanna Brooks. And so Michael Otterson writes an open letter to Warren Smith explaining his concern about the silly notions that he has. It's brilliantly written, and I think everyone should read it. But here, I'll just read 3 points that he makes right here. He wants to summarize the salient points of this guy's essay as to what Warren Cole Smith was getting across. 1, that any Mormon, regardless of qualifications for office, is unfit to serve because of his or her religion, because her religion is somehow demonstrably false. By false, I assume you mean different from yours or how you define biblical Christianity. 2, because Mormons believe in continuing revelation, they could believe one thing today and another tomorrow. And 3, the election of a Mormon president would give the religion a boost because it would seem like an endorsement, and that would be a bad thing. And then he spends a number of paragraphs just tearing that apart. It's awesome. And he does it respectfully. It's a good read. So I hope everyone will read it. I liked it quite a bit.
Very cool.
Just wanted to give that shout out to Michael Otterson.
One last one. The poor folk in North Mission, Texas. Which
Al originally thought was in Virginia or North Carolina.
I was guessing.
Just wanted to
where's
get
North
that out
Mission?
There.
It sounded like a Virginia.
He's like, where's North Mission? Definitely in Virginia.
Yeah, like for sure North Mission is in Texas.
No, in Virginia, cities are named things like Freedomburg.
All right, so Mission might have been a little presumptive.
Laissez-faire-ville.
Perhaps some papal follower guy come up from Florida, started a mission. It could have happened. So anyway, Mission, Texas,
yes.
They're on their second try for getting their chapel. They've got the land and the whole thing secured, and the people are just protesting at the city's forbidding them to build there, and their second attempt has failed, and it's failing. People are rallying because it's a cult. Mormonism is a cult, and they don't want that in their area.
Is that what they actually said?
Yeah, I can actually find the quote here.
That's rough.
The statement is, gosh, I should have highlighted that. But the statement is like the more you find out about this, the more you don't want them in your area. Why would the church have specific and special privileges to go to a community where they're not welcome? It's just kind of, it's odd to have this stuff. Like, I still don't get how people get away with this. Which, we have an interesting story we're going to talk about next week. Next week, we're going to have Jenna Kim Jones, a popular Mormon comedian who is a... I believe she's a writer for The Daily Show. She's going to be on the show with us.
She's so popular, I've never heard of her.
I love Jenna Kim Jones. I think she's great.
You know what? I want to have her on because I actually want her and Jenna. Does she listen to our show?
Probably not.
Well, that's great. That's flattering. So, I want to know. I watched The Daily Show last week, and I just want her to explain the if she had any part in the wiener wheel.
I hope so.
And if so, how she reconciles that with her faith. That will be an interesting discussion.
Wait, what was the wiener wheel? Explain.
The wiener wheel crossed the line for me. Okay, because you know Wienergate's been going on and all that stuff.
Yes.
With Anthony Wiener, right? And of course The Daily Show has a ball with it. And so Jon Stewart had this wheel, like one you would spin, you know, and it was to talk about all the news they'd been missing because of Wienergate, other things that have been going on. And so you spin the wheel to decide which ones to talk about, but the... rather than just have a little arrow or a, you know, like a little ticker thing, you know, that chooses the, you know, the category, like on Wheel of Fortune, you know, like the little arrow. Yep. Instead of that, it was a dong.
And that was too much for you?
I don't,
Jeff. You're a very crass, offensive individual at times.
I think it's not a depiction.
You choose to it's be. Not offended.
Even it's not even hinted at. It's like a silicone unit, just right there.
All right, it was going for a cheap laugh. She can't be able to responsible for that.
It was
anyway,
a cheap laugh. So,
we're
going
to have her
so.
On next week. But there's an interesting article about mocking Mormons and why it's become okay in our culture to single us out. Interesting read. Look forward to talking about it. But it'll be something that kind of goes along with this story of why it's okay for people to just kind of single out a religion and say, no, we don't like them.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Well, we look forward to that then, and I'm going to grill her.
Ride her.
About hard. Stuff. Okay. Good. That's
I'm
wonderful.
Pretty, I'm pretty sure I've
out.
Gotten like 30 and, Arrested Development quotes in this episode.
I think we're done.
I'm proud of myself.
You're very proud of yourself. So that's going to be all, everyone, I suppose. Please, of course, we say this. Send us an email.
Send it to
contact
Zoom.
At thisweekinmormons.com. Go for it.
Email.
Enjoy. Or, of course, as always, you're very good about the Facebook, which is /This Week in Mormons, and Twitter @TheRealTwim. That's where we are. That's where you can find us. And, of course, please look forward to Sunday School Bonanza. As always, we really appreciate your input and thoughts on that endeavor. We've enjoyed doing it so far, so thanks for
We should
your,
have a separate feed set up by then, and we will encourage people
stuff.
To go to that.
And I think that's all we have to cover for the day, right?
All right. Have a great
what
week, Jeff. Have a great week.
Okay. Right. Bye, Al. Have a good one. And I will do the same. And all of you, apologies for the late show, but there it is. So we'll talk to all of you later. Once again, thank you for listening to This Week in Mormons.